I must confess that Mother Kate assigning me to preach when we spring 1 hour ahead on this day was her way of punking me. But now I realize it was her way of punking you. I must acknowledge that I was not looking forward to this Lenten season. Ashless Wednesday loomed as one more reminder of the pandemic mourning that I have been feeling. Wasn't there enough brokenness this year? Aren't we living more in the shadow of the cross than in the glory of the resurrection? Did we really need another reminder of one more thing that we were going to be doing without? Couldn't the prayers alone remind us of our human frailty, our dependence on God, and the transience of this life? Yet my supervisor at the hospital, a rabbi, whom I trust and admire, persisted to make Ash Wednesday possible. I resisted. After all, my bishop directed that we not distribute ashes this year. Piously demeaning the need for people to wear ashes, demanding that we all need to be more attentive to the purpose rather than the sign of the sacramental, I stood my ground. She lovingly looked at me and admonished, "That is not pastoral, it's preachy." I hated to hear it, but she was right. She could have gone further. It was judgmental. Apparently, my grief was revealing underlying anger, stifling my own ability to love. A truly loving response would be to help those who needed this moment of faith to be gifted in as meaningful a way as was possible. We did distribute ashes in small plastic containers to employees, just enough for the faithful to self-impose in a moment of prayer at the time of their own choosing. And throughout the day they came, doctors, nurses, assistants, technicians, clerical staff, custodians, across all hospital departments to accept the invitation to self-impose and pray. And they taught me a valuable lesson. Why it's a bit off to view Ashless Wednesday or lack of worship in person solely as forms of loss during this pandemic period. They taught me why this observance of Lent is much more important than ever, with or without ashes on our forehead. Now, let's start by acknowledging that we are living in the shadow of the cross in ways that we all never imagined. Let us accept the fact that Lent calls us to reckon with the reality of the darkness, our grief, our mourning. Let's acknowledge that remaining with it only keeps us in the shadow of the cross, limits our understanding of what life is as Christians. Now, today's Lenten Gospel passage for this fourth Sunday in Lent invites us to reflect on a central theme of what it means to be a Christian in today's world. John states it in a familiar soundbite, a popular bumper sticker, so often quoted, it's sometimes not heard, nor thought about deeply, and it's often misunderstood. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. John opens us to the rich awareness of the gospel. We do not live in the shadow of the cross alone. It is a pithy and a perfect summation of our faith. It's an update on our whole salvation history God's covenant with God's people. God's love story continues. Salvation extends to the world through God's love. For it was God's love that stirred up God's heart at the pleading of the slaves in Egypt. Love that offered the law and the security of the promised land through exile. Love that raised up prophets who declared God's compassion for all. And love that stirred the first century church to extend itself beyond the Jewish community to the Gentiles. And love that sent Jesus to be the incarnate light into the darkness of this world. This gospel isn't a soundbite, isn't a pithy phrase, a bumper sticker, and it isn't a reason to exclude others from God's love. It's a declaration of God's desire for us to join in the redemptive love, in the work of redemptive love. It is less about judgment. It is more about being in the light when we find ourselves mired in the shadow of the cross. God so loves the world that he sends us to confront evil, to heal brokenness, and to act with divine compassion. Nothing separates us from the love of God. It's in our DNA. Grace freely given powers our capability if we are open to the task. Now, Lent, my friends, is a perfect time for this reflection. We can choose to act, or we can forfeit the opportunity to offer God's redemptive love in a broken world. Yet living in the darkness is overwhelming, isn't it? God's desire is often stymied by human failure. Stymied by human failure when we reduce our faith to a theological cliche. Stymied by human failure when we limit our understanding of faith to mental affirmation alone without action. Stymied when we cheapen grace to something we receive, failing to give in response, holding God's beautiful message of love only to ourselves. Stymied when we limit our vision and we fail to acknowledge the darkness that others are forced to live within, emphasizing our own personal experiences. Stymied when we neglect this gospel's central message. Now, Richard Rohr this morning offered this profound meditation. We're told by developmental psychologists that there's a staging in our growth in love. We have to start with self-love and respecting the self. If we don't respect ourselves, we won't know how to respect anyone else. Then God moves us to group love, family love, which is basically the love of people who are connected to us or who are like us. A lot of people don't even get there. They don't know how to love their family or those close to them or those in their group. From there, God moves us to the third level, which is universal love. I'm afraid a much smaller number of people, Rohr writes, get to this place. As we see in politics, in our country, and throughout the world, at best, most people just get to the second stage of knowing how to love people who are like them, their race, their nationality, their religion, their political party. And when we stay at this second stage of group love, we clearly don't create a healthy society. We see in this the rise of white nationalism, and the violence at the U.S. Capitol that took place earlier this year. Many of us who identify as white in the United States are just coming to understand that it was this second level of exclusive love for our own group that was the foundation for most of the oppressive systems in our nation. So shares Richard Rohr. My friends, God so loves the world, he gave his son as a living, breathing sign of how to live, how to love, and how to serve. And God so loves the world, he sends us. He sends us to raise a prophetic voice, to imagine a world where God's love is at work over and over again, a world where we create the community that Mother Kate spoke about last week in her sermon, a world where we extend God's love in limitless supply, responding to all of God's creation with God's divine compassion. But the reality of it is, we can't do this alone. We must do it together, and as Christians, place our trust in Jesus. Place our trust in Jesus and be honest about those things that keep us from loving others. Those times when we are complicit with and benefit from words and actions and decisions that limit the lives of others. Acknowledge that our faith is not just something we covet for ourselves, a means to serve our own yearning for piety, which I was doing. Accept the reality that sharing God's love for all might conflict with our own comfort. We have to accept that the life that God gives us is not for securing blessings based on our own self-interest and our own needs. Now, my conversations with the staff at the hospital on that Ash Wednesday helped me to understand a little more about what it means to be living in the shadow of the cross, because I was with a group of people who have been living in that shadow in unimaginable ways for the past year. Living in the darkness, they showed me, can enhance faith. It can drive us to mine hope, desire reconciliation, and work for reparation. From prayer requests that day to smiles to expressions of sadness and sometimes glee, the ashes became more than a sacramental moment without touch. The entire experience of words and actions became one of deep intimacy. Seeking respite from the heaviness of their work, reaching beyond the shadow that they were living in, this community of people acknowledged the transience of life, the brokenness of spirit, and the profound need to trust in God's love together. Together that day, we witnessed the faithful who came for more than ashes, the faithful who bowed their heads in prayer, like the young doctor who said, "I just need to sit here with you for a moment." The faithful who sought connection and basked in a sometimes awkward silence, embodying the hopeful nature of life that comes with our sharing God's love in our world. Yes, my friends, God so loves the world, he sends us. Amen.